Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. We have definitely hit on something. The Titans' biggest villain in the past 25 years. Your answers are fantastic. So we will get back to those after Brett Kern joins us. He is on with us now. Now, you said, Brett, you said Andrew Luck, right?
Yeah, I'm like, it's like 0-25 against them, or that's what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty good answer. And a lot of people have said that. And then the early days of Ray Lewis and the Baltimore Ravens took away 2000 and 2008 as potential Super Bowl teams. So those are good. Peyton Manning got a few votes as well. But the Titans did beat him a couple times. Not many, but a couple times in that stretch. So I think Luck is a good one.
Yeah, it's just, you know, whether he came down here or we went up there, it was just really hard to beat him. And there were a couple times, especially the one I remember, I think it was overtime. I thought we had him, and he drove down, scored, and it was just tough to beat him. And so I think the only time we beat Indy in that stretch that he was a quarterback, I think he was hurt, and I don't even remember who the quarterback was at the time. But man, he was tough. He was tough. I'm sure the Colts still miss him, but he was a tough guy to beat.
So we talked with you last week when you were in studio about, you know, how you looked at the schedule when it came out, kind of knowing where the trips were going to be. Let's start with the first game. You played there as a player and you played against them. The Titans will start on the road in the altitude at Denver. Do you like that spot on the schedule? Just get it out of the way first.
I mean, that's I'm glad you and I last week were solid on our picks as far as taking the over on the 1.5 games or whatever it was for
National for the prime time. Yeah, that was good.
We got that one right. But Denver's, that's going to be tough, right? Just because, you know, first game of the year, the opener is always nuts. A lot of crazy things can happen. Obviously, you know, you look at last year and obviously Chicago and how that went down, or even the year prior in the Saints. You know, with the block punt and just, you know, some field position things. And it's just a lot of crazy things can happen week one. And so to go to Denver, that's already a hard enough place to play. But, you know, for this young team, young offense, Cam Ward to go out there, you know, last year, you know, I think they were third in rushing defense, third in, I think they only gave up, you know, 18 points a game, which I think was third or fourth. I know they had a top five red zone defense. You know, and they led the league in sacks, right? With 63 of them, and not to mention, you know, their 20th pick this year, they go out and get a dog of a corner Barron out of Texas, right? So to start your year against that defense is going to be tough. But like you said, I mean, maybe you start it, maybe you hope, maybe they're not in sync fully. It's opening weekend; you never know what's going to happen. So maybe that is a good one to start with.
Brett, would you be surprised? Not surprised. If that, when the Titans start this next round of camp and everything, that Cam Ward runs with the number ones, should he run with the number one starting out?
I mean, I think so. Why not, right? If your intentions, I know they're saying they're having a competition, but like I said last week, you know, I've been a part of competitions where I got 7 punts and the other punter got 3, right? I don't know if reps are going to be necessarily 50-50 split. You know, where all of them are getting work with the ones, right? I think Cam will take most of your work with the ones. You drafted him number one.
Like, right. Yeah.
You picked him to be the leader of this franchise at the quarterback position. So, yes, give him the number one reps. Will he take all of them? No. Will Levis will take some. Brandon will probably take some, right, just because you have to. And so it's really important right now with OTAs to take advantage of this time with timing with receivers, install, like how much can they install with Cam, at what pace, learn from the mistakes, right? You never want to be a repeat offender in the NFL. When you're a repeat offender, you don't have a job very long. And so, you know, what are the mistakes that Cam is making? Because he will make some, right? He's not a perfect person. He'll make mistakes, right? So, what are the mistakes that he's making? How do we correct them? Timing with receivers, running backs, gelling with the offensive line. It's just a really, really good time for especially a young team to be working on getting on the same page.
Would it be an insult to our intelligence if Callahan sends him up tomorrow and says, yeah, we're going to run Brandon Allen with number ones right now, knowing that you just hit the nail on the head, like, this is Cam Ward's team. Just don't do this to us.
there'd probably be a lot of eye rolls right. in that media room if that was said. So I think everybody knows that. Obviously, Coach Callie's going to say what he needs to say. But you picked him number one. He's supposed to be your franchise guy. You unretired a jersey for him, and that whole conversation and topic, like, let the guy take a majority of your number one reps.
I know when you'd been in the league with the Broncos, you got cut, you come here. What was that feeling like, Brett, when you're driving the facility, when you don't know a single soul here, and it's kind of you versus the world? This kind of the rookies are going through that right now. Like, all right, whole new world, whole new environment. What was that like for you, and how did you get past that, like, all right, I got to make the most of this now?
Yeah, I mean, that was tough, especially because, you know, I think I didn't get into like 1 o'clock in the morning because my flight was delayed out of Denver. And then, you know, I had to get up at 5 a.m. to go get my physical. And I think I was at St. Thomas at 6 a.m. getting a physical. So I was running pretty low on sleep. And, you know, to walk into, I just remember walking into breakfast after my physical and being like, I do not know a soul in this room. Right. It's not the best feeling, but it's also a chance to go prove yourself to guys that don't know you. And that was a challenge, right? To come in your first practice in the season, I think it was like week 7 or 8.
Right.
So these guys have already had a routine, the rhythm, and I'm coming in like, I don't even know where's the special teams meeting room. What time is the meeting at? Right. It's just different. It was a lot, but thankfully, you know, and I owe a ton of credit to, you know, Craig Hentrick, who was here, you know, and he was on IR and he kind of took me under his wing. And, you know, Coach Lowry was awesome. Rob Baronis was awesome. As much as he joked around with me, and I always had to verify information with other people. I didn't know if Rob was trying to mess with me or what. But, the guys that I came here with were, you know, open arms. And and then obviously I had to go prove myself on the field to Coach Fisher, to everybody else that I belonged, you know, with the Titans. And so it's important, especially now for these guys, you know, with the mini camps and with the OTAs and all stuff, that these guys are, A, doing stuff as a rookie class together, you know, whether it's Cam taking guys out to dinner, they go play paintball, maybe go watch a movie, you know, do something fun. And then also to have that mingling between the veterans and the rookies, whether it's at breakfast, lunch, in meetings, guys just getting to know each other. Because the teams that I've been on where we've done the best, we've also gelled the most. And you felt like, you know, you kind of felt like you were a family, right? I know that term's used a lot, but we were close. And sometimes the teams that we weren't the best on, it just kind of felt distant with some guys, right? And so hopefully this time right now, these guys are developing bonds together, friendships, as they head into the season.
I always want to ask you this, and I can't believe I didn't ask you this. Did Elway cut you?
No, actually it was McDaniels, because McDaniels had the roster power. And I was this is too funny. I got cut by Josh. I don't really remember what he said, because I was just in shock that I got, you know, cut week 6. And like I said, our son was 6 weeks old at home, and, you know, having to go home and tell my wife, you know, I got cut, right? had my trash bag with me, but as I was walking out of the facility, the GM, I'm trying to remember what his name was, the GM was walking into work, and he said, "Hey, man, what do you got the trash bag for?" I was like, "Man, I just got cut." And the GM had no idea.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's just the timing of that.
Well, I mean, it's funny now, but, you know, at that time, I was like, the GM doesn't even know I got cut. So I'm obviously thankful for that, because obviously to be here for 13 seasons was a huge blessing.
Brett Kern is with us, former Titans punter. So what's kind of the – and it's different from position to position, I'm sure, but what is kind of the routine for a player right now? You got OTAs that are going on. You got workouts, those things. What does the offseason look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, probably right now guys are kind of – because they're in essence kind of half days. Rookies – can spend a little bit more time there at the facility, but veterans, you know, they're only allowed, I think, 4 hours in the building. And that expands a little bit as you head through the phases, phase 1, 2, 3, and then obviously your mandatory mini camp. But, you know, for these guys, they're just establishing routine. You know, you're coming in for meetings. My guess is Callie has the day set up similar to what it's going to look like during the season. And so, you know, what are guys doing before they get out on the field as far as stretching, hot tubs, all that kind of stuff. And then what are they doing post, you know, their practice, post lifting, as far as recovery, what they're putting in their bodies, you know, cold tubs, hot tubs, contrast, all that kind of stuff. And so right now they're kind of setting up kind of a mini routine, because when the season comes, you know, that that routine is huge. And I think that's why, you know, me personally, the fact that they don't have any national televised games, whether it's Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night, I think that's huge. And I think that's good for just a young team, because they can set up that Sunday to Sunday routine. You get 9 games before you get a bye, so you can – you know, you really get into a rhythm, you know, with those first 9 games. And then, you know, once the bye comes around, you can kind of look at tendencies. You can look at what's working, what's not working. There's a lot of things you can look at, a much needed break, so that when you head into those last 8 games, you know, you kind of feel like you've established a routine. You don't have to worry about, hey, we're playing at Houston Monday Night Football. We're going to get home at 3-4 o'clock in the morning. Tuesday's wasted of a day because you need to sleep, and then, you know, Wednesday rolls around and you're still trying to recover from what happened, right? So there will be none of that. No Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night. It's strictly a Sunday to Sunday. You get on a routine, and I think that's huge for this team, especially the first year for Cam and some of these guys. And so establishing a routine starts now with these guys, and, you know, it'll carry through the season.
Routine, routine, routine. Brett, appreciate the time as always, and making us a part of your routine. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, next week maybe we can talk long snappers and the rule changes.
Yes.
And let you know that Vince Wilfork back in the day pretty much was probably the reason why they had to change the rule, because there were a lot of long snappers that still probably have nightmares of him just absolutely demolishing them on a punt or a field goal snap.
Now, can you line up 3 to 4 yards back and run that way? I just thought you can't line up over the nose guard, over the long snapper. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think it was 2010. You couldn't be within a yard of the snapper. But you could still, if you were a yard away, you could still rush him. They had to give the guy time to pick his head up and try to defend himself, right? Because snapping, everything's upside down. And then 2013, they became defenseless, I think, on field goal only. So you couldn't even hit the snapper on a field goal in 2013. And then I think 17 or 18, they stopped the leaping, where you couldn't use the snapper to try to leap over and block the field goal. So, but 2010 was a big year for long snappers, and definitely in 2013 when you couldn't just tee off on them. Because I know, you know, Vince Wilfork would line up a yard from the snapper once it was high. I mean, literally, he would try to kill the long snapper.
Right. I get all that. That's great. Hey, let me ask you this, and I know real quick, other question. Do you like the fact, you know, in the day when I played, the punter had one personal protector. Now a lot of teams have 3 guys back there. I don't like that, because you get the other defensive guy a running start, and if one guy gets a running start and you're the one of the 3 guys misses a step or something, you're getting blasted. I don't like that. And why do we do that?
Yeah, well, I mean, the 3 guys back is college, just because a lot of guys do the rollout punt. But in the NFL, you just have your personal protector, one guy back there. You know, because when NFL, you have your punter, the moment he leaves from behind the snapper, he's free game. You don't want to do that. So that's more of a college thing. I don't like it at all. You know, the Aussie thing, got a lot of the Australians coming over, and that's just what they're extremely good at. So, you know, teams cater to that formation. They put 3 guys back there to protect him, roll out, and that's that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it, and I watched a great video this weekend about a special teams coach about how to block the punt when you got the 3 protectors up there, and it was fascinating watching the different gaps these guys take and everything, and, you know, blocking punts. Anyway, it's football, and I'm old school, and I don't like that, but nobody's gonna listen to me, Brett.
No, I'm with you. I agree with you. We're on the same page.
Love it, brother.
Brett, appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
All right, we'll see y'all.
Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us here on the program as he always does. Coming up next, we'll get back into this villain question, because a lot of you are sending in texts. Who is the biggest villain for the Titans in the last 25 years? A lot of different directions you can go with this. But right now, the first person to answer this trivia question will win a pair of tickets to the Cracker Barrel 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway on Sunday, June 1st. Kyle Larson has qualified for the Indianapolis 500, and so he will attempt the double. on Memorial Day, coming up Sunday, the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 600. He also, of course, ran the Daytona 500. So he is one of two drivers this year to attempt both the Daytona 500 and Indianapolis 500. Who is the other? 615-737-1025. First person to get that right will win tickets to the Cracker Barrel 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway on Sunday, June 1st. Good luck.